that music. It makes me want to get up and dance. You were listening to Barcelona Nights by Nueve Flamenco by Otmar Liebert. That's because our guest tonight's a Barcelona kind of guy. Dr. Hugh Smith has joined us, and he specializes in a very unique kind of blood analysis. People from all over the world flock to his clinic because he uses a very non-standard kind of microscope to tell you what exactly is going on in your body from the inside out. We'll be taking calls tonight, so stand by for this fascinating topic. I'm Sherry Edwards, your host for Sound Health on BBS Radio, and for the next hour, we're going to have a fun time talking to Dr. Smith. I asked him before the show what he wanted to talk about, and he said, oh, the meaning of life and why bluebirds fly at night or why they don't fly at night. We're going to be talking about that and lots of other things. We're taking calls tonight, 877-876-5227. Toll-free Canada, 888-810-8322. Or if you want to just dial direct, 530-876-3222. We are not monitoring the Sound Health email tonight. There's a little glitch in the computer program going on, but we will be taking your calls, and I'll give that number out later again. I do have a few announcements. We're still running classes for you to learn to do vocal analysis for yourself to start or start your own business. They aren't free anymore. We did all those last 3 months of the year. Many of you missed out on the free trial for the programs, but that's what BBS is all about, bringing you more information about how you can live an optimal life. So we're going to be doing that again very soon. And have you noticed those beautiful multicolored ads about Invoice that's on the side of the BBS website? That's our personality profiler, and it provides you a 3 to 5 page instant report about who you really are. It uses your vocal codes to help you gain incredible information into your inner self. And we've learned to do it by phone, at least the personality part. So you can call us up, make an appointment, and talk to us a couple minutes on the phone, and we'll just ship you out your vocal profile right over your email. And we have a little problem with the name of the program. We're calling it Invoice. And we really mean what's in your voice, but people are getting it mixed up with, they think we're going to send them a bill. Well, we probably will, but not that kind. So we have a challenge. We want you to help us name the program. And we'll give you a copy of the program. That's a $440 value if we choose your name. And in case of multiple entries, we don't know what we're going to do. Probably postmark or something like that. I guess postmark is outdated. We'll use that date time thing that comes on the email because we want you to send these in to soundhealth@soundhealth.org. And a lot of you know our email already, or you can look on the show information and get the email address. Other, you can go to our website too, nutrisounds.com or vocalprofiling.com. Any of those there, you know, I mean, I've repeated them so many times, you guys probably already know them, and you're tired of hearing me say it. So, that's the end of the announcement. Dr. Smith, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sherry. How are you doing this evening?
I am great. It is snowing and just colder than a frog here in Ohio.
Well, you know what? It's really too bad because it's really been a great day here in San Diego.
Yeah, we love you too.
We were out on the pier fishing today.
You love fishing, and
yep.
You love photography, and you love hematology.
And I love to do what I do.
What is hematology exactly?
Well, of course, hematology is the study of blood, and it's been a science for 400 years or so. What we do is a little bit of a twist on it. Up until the turn of the 20th century, blood, of course, was studied under a microscope, living. And it was a little difficult to see because it's a transparent subject, so you're looking at something that's pretty difficult to see under a regular microscope. And about the turn of the 20th century, a doctor by the name of Paul Ehrlich in Germany discovered the technique of staining. From that point forward, all blood was stained, looked at under a microscope, dead. And then what we do, of course, is we look at blood under the microscope alive.
Okay, dead. You mean they killed it?
I mean, effectively, when you stain blood, you have to kill it. And when I say kill it, that sounds a little dramatic. But basically, of course, the cells die because they're stained and heated. And what we do is look at blood under a unique type of microscope that allows us to see microorganisms and blood cells actually alive. And you're looking at them on a monitor at the same time that we do, and you have the opportunity to effectively see them in effect the way they're running around in your body. So we have an opportunity to actually watch them. And, of course, when you were here last time, you had a chance to see those cells vibrating in response to your voice.
And oh, that was awesome.
That was cool. And I've never seen that before.
And see them plump up.
Yeah.
React.
So we have a chance now to see things under, you know, a standard microscope will magnify at about 1,000 to 1,500. Our microscope, which is fairly unique in the industry, will magnify to 30,000. And instead of seeing things with a resolution of around 225 or 300 nanometers, ours will resolve down to about 125. There's only 16 of them in the world, and we have the only one that's available to the public. So it gives us a unique opportunity to see things that are happening at a pretty high level of magnification and resolution.
When we were looking at your office and looking at these incredible colors, the blood cells were about the size of a dime. In reality, what would they be compared to?
Well, of course, the blood cell measures about 8 microns, which is 8 millionths of a meter. So in a standard drop of blood that I draw from a fingertip, there are probably 100,000 blood cells in that little drop of blood.
So now, these are not visible to the naked eye?
No, certainly not.
Okay.
And, of course, when the microscope was invented back in the 16th century, you know, the magnification was about 200. And when you take a look at what gentlemen like Leeuwenhoek did with microscopes at that time, it was pretty amazing that these guys discovered the things that they did, considering the fact that the microscopes were so primitive compared to what we do today. Now, our microscope is different than a scanning electron microscope, for example, which magnifies at about 400 to 600,000 times, but it necessarily kills the subject, which we try to avoid. So what we want to see is what the cell is doing at a functional level microscopically. And so what we're doing is watching the cell function at a pretty low level.
So what was happening in, say, conventional medicine, they draw blood out of your arm. It takes it days or hours to get to the lab. By that time, it's dead. And what you do is have the person in front of you, you punch their finger. It didn't hurt very much. You squash the blood out on a little glass slide, and then you stick it under this. It's not a very large microscope. And then you get to see it in glorious color, and it's all moving around. And can they see those kinds of microbes that you were seeing in the blood when you were looking at mine, and I watched you do several other people?
Well, what's happened, I think, in medicine is we have tried to quantify medicine as some sort of a science. Now, I'm not saying that medicine is not a science, but we've taken the art out of it. And we've tried to quantify it to the point that when people go to their doctor, I don't know how many times people come into our facility, and they go, well, all my tests are normal, but I feel like crud. And you have to really be able to look at blood, for example, and say, okay, we're going to connect the dots. And this is going on. This is going on. Why is this going on? And what we've done over the past 50 years, nobody asks why anymore. For example, you know, a standard thing that you'll find that people are diagnosed with is a little condition called eosinophilia. Eosinophilia is a condition where a particular type of white cell has gone crazy. Standard now, a doctor will take eosinophilia and treat it with prednisone to drive the white count down, never asking why that particular white count has gone high. And the reason it generally goes up is eosinophils only show up when there are allergies or parasites or both involved. So wouldn't it make more sense to treat the allergy or the parasite and drive it down that way than saying, well, let's just get rid of the eosinophilia? So what we try to do is get to the root cause. And today, unfortunately, and this is not true of all doctors. Doctors do the best they can with what they've been trained to do. But unfortunately, they're trained to treat a symptom. They're not trained to treat a cause. And we no longer ask why something is going on.
Oh, and sometimes they're trained to treat the pocketbook.
Yeah.
You and I were talking before the show about this bizarre incident. My doctor was out of town, and I love my doctor. I go in, he says, what do you have and what do you want? I just take him my vocal print. But I was having trouble breathing, and I couldn't understand that, and so I always want verification. And so they sent me to another doctor. And I get there, and I'm reporting I'm having trouble breathing. So she listens and pokes and punches, and her recommendation was a hysterectomy. Now, I'm not trained medically, but even I don't see the connection there.
Yeah, I'm having a problem with that one.
You're laughing.
Yeah. I mean, to me, what she's done is it would be like taking your car into your doctor and saying, well, my gas gauge is showing empty, and their answer is saying, well, let's take out the gas gauge. I mean,
the tires.
Yeah, let's get rid of the tires. I mean, that is just, to me, that's let's say that's a novel approach to a breathing problem.
Well, it turned out it was the paint that, when I did my vocal print, it was the paint. My husband's remodeling a bathroom.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I got away from the paint, you know, the problem went away. But I just told her, you know, I don't think so. I don't see the connection. And she was, like, insulted. But what you do goes so far deeper inside from, like, the core of someone. And when we were doing it, we were comparing it to vocal analysis, and you said, well, Sherry, you have mycoplasma arthriticus, I think you said.
Yeah, arthritis.
Okay. And I said, well, let's just check that out. And as we were sitting there, and I could see it running around in my blood, and boy, it was pretty, or some of it was really ugly, but some of it was pretty. And we were just seeing what we could find, and there it was in the vocal print, biggest life.
Yep.
So two deeply, I don't even know how to say that, because the voice is from the inside out, and the blood certainly is from the inside out. And to be able to look at that, and sometimes it is so scary. The guy that you were doing right before me, in his blood, it looked like round balls with thorns on.
Ah, yeah, cancer sites will show up when the liver is under a lot of stress. Now the liver can be stressed for a lot of reasons, but one, for example, would be a hormonal imbalance. The liver's stressed because the liver's trying to filter out that excess hormone. Another thing would be, for example, hepatitis will show up, which, of course, is a virus, but the liver, of course, will be stressed. I mean, the liver, that's the filtering mechanism for your entire body. And when that shows up, we start looking around for the cause of that because we want to find out why is that occurring. It really doesn't do us much good to say, well, your liver's stressed. Okay, then what do we do about that? The point is we want to find out why it's occurring. And that really is the key to what we do here, is we try to find out the whys and not treat a symptom. So we want to really get to the bottom of the problem. We just had a gentleman come in Monday, and this guy was covered in a major rash. And he lives well, he eats well, he's just a great guy. And we looked at his blood, and this guy is crawling with parasites. Within 3 days, he came back in the office. He said, look, and literally, the rash was almost totally gone because we put him on a parasite cleanse. And turns out the guy's a surfer. Well, surfers notoriously have serious problems with parasites because the ocean is full of them. But he was just blown away. And incidentally, he's a chiropractor. And, I mean, within a couple of days, several of these patients showed up at the office. The point is that we go to the cause. I mean, you can treat these things, and you know this with vocal profiling. You can treat rashes, for example, from a topical standpoint, but more times than not, it's an internal issue you have to get at. So our job is to go in, take a look around the living room, if you will, in the human being, and go, well, here's what's going on. Let's get rid of this issue. Let's get rid of that issue. It's amazing what happens.
Are you allowed to talk about his case so that people can get an idea of what goes on at the clinic there?
Yeah. Basically, of course, what happened was this gentleman came in, and we do a finger stick. It's a very simple process. I mean, you had it done, Sherry. It doesn't hurt.
Not much.
I can make it hurt, but, you know. And we take that single drop of blood, because blood is the only tissue that touches the human, every part of the human body, every 80 seconds or so. So no matter where you draw the blood from, it's going to tell the same story, pretty much. So we put the blood on a slide, we put that under the microscope, and we put it up at about 1,000. We started at 1,000 magnification, and we kind of take a look, a general look around the living room, if you will, and see what's kind of going on, what's out of place. You know, this sofa over here doesn't belong there. And then I'll bring it up to about 20,000, 25,000, and take a look at the individual cells and what's going on. Now, in this particular individual, he had a parasite infection called Toxoplasma gondii. And Toxoplasma gondii is a very common parasite with cats, dogs, in the ocean. It's getting worse all the time. And incidentally, not only will it cause a rash, but in about 40% of the cases of schizophrenia, that's a common denominator in schizophrenics, is Toxoplasma gondii. And once we address that issue, it's amazing how many people with so-called mental disorders reverse just because we got rid of that particular parasite. Now, a lot of people, when I talk about parasites, they go, you are really going off the deep end here. And the truth is, we don't realize what a common denominator parasites are in the United States. This is not a third world problem. This is a problem everywhere, and including the Center for Disease Control, for example, lists a particular parasite as a cofactor in AIDS. And that came out in 1978, 3 years before AIDS was discovered. And there are people like Hilda Clark who will tell you that AIDS is a parasite problem. Whether or not that's 100% true, I don't know.
Can you see that in people's blood?
Oh, absolutely. It's called Trichomonas vaginalis, and it's a very common parasite in the United States. We now estimate that 25% of the American population is infected with Trichomonas vaginalis. Very often, women who will come in complaining of yeast infections, they aren't yeast infections, it's a parasite problem. So we address that issue, and amazingly, these things disappear.
How did this parasite get from the surf into this guy's blood? Do you have to swallow it?
Actually what happens is Scripps Institute, which is about, 10 miles away from us right now, south of us, and most people know Scripps because of their work with oceanography, and they were having a difficult time about 3 or 4 years ago trying to determine why the California sea otter was dying off at an accelerated rate. Well, when they did the autopsy, they found Toxoplasma gondii, and they're going, wait a minute, this is a cat parasite. What's it doing in a sea otter? Well, what they began to realize is that people take their kitty litter, throw it in the trash, that ends up in a landfill, and that ends up in the ocean.
Hmm.
Now, and so it's not unusual for surfers to be to have these problems, digestive issues, you know, rashes, things that just seem totally disconnected from what they do. But in fact, the ocean is full of various parasites, you know.
So,
and of course, sushi is going up too, you know.
So you found this sushi. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
you found this in this guy's blood. What did you do then?
Well, we put him on a simple parasite cleanse. It was basically one capsule 3 times a day. And within 2 to 3 days, I mean, I think he showed up on a Wednesday to at least look at me. And this is a fairly dramatic response, because generally it doesn't happen that quickly. But in his particular case, within 3 days, almost the entire rash was gone.
just from a pill, an herb.
Basically, it's black walnut hull, wormwood, cloves, garlic, all in a combination. And we put him on that 3 times a day, and literally within days, it was gone. Because what happens with the rash is your body is trying to detox. The largest organ in your body, of course, is your skin. So it'll start showing up as a rash because your body's trying to detox. And, of course, one of the symptoms that he mentioned when we were in the lab was that he was having a serious problem with constipation. Well, that's fairly typical with parasites. So it's amazing. There are doctors who claim, and I don't know that this is quite true either, but they will claim that parasites account for maybe 90% of disease in this world. I'm not sure I agree with that, but regardless, it does seem to be a problem here.
Well, do certain types of cleanses go with certain types of parasites, or is that just a big general parasite cleanse?
Well, what we do, of course, we formulated a gel cap that contains that particular liquid that will address probably 80-85% of the parasites that we see here. Some of it's being used right now in India, other parts of the world, and the cleanse, we later, once we do a parasite cleanse, which is about a month's issue, then we'll ask them to do a liver cleanse, which is another little step that they take, and it's a 2-day cleanse, clear some of the toxins from the body, because as you know, we live in we basically have become chemical toxic waste dumps. And our bodies are just full of garbage. I mean, we just don't have any clue. Before we even get started in the morning, we've been exposed to so many toxins, it's not even funny. So that's another issue that we deal with here, too, is a toxic issue.
What leads people to come to you other than, say, a rash or this guy with spiny blood vessels?
Yeah, what happens is people go to their doctor, and they go, you know, I have this going on. And the doctor goes, well, everything is normal. And you go, well, maybe everything's normal, but I'm not feeling well. And we have serious issues. I mean, we deal with cancer. We deal with just about every malady that you can imagine. And they finally come to us as a last resort, and that's when we generally get them. You know, MS or whatever it may happen to be, they come here to find out what's going on. And it's amazing how much better they feel just knowing this is the issue I'm dealing with. And that's what really got me started in this whole field was my wife of 25 years, a year or so after we got married, she was blind and crawling on the floor with MS. And that's what started this whole thing. And I think that's really what gets most of us into the fields that we end up in is out of desperation. Because there was no treatment for her. And I remember... I'm sorry, go ahead, Sherry.
There's just no answers in conventional medicine for something like MS.
No, and we know exactly what causes MS. And, in fact, Lida Matman, who is a professor emeritus at Wayne State University in Ohio, she stood up in front of a bunch of doctors at one point, and she said, our not telling people what causes MS is criminal. And it is, because we know what causes it. And so she went on the same quest. She's a microbiologist, and her daughter came down with MS, and she was frustrated because there was no treatment, and she went after finding out what's going on, and we know what causes it.
It's a parasite.
Well, no, in the case of MS, it's called mycoplasma brucellosis, and there's several other different names, but they're cell wall deficient forms, and they are called stealth pathogens because they evade your immune system quite well. And your immune system absolutely goes crazy trying to figure out what's going on, and it begins to, if you will, attack the human body in an effort to do what it's designed to do. And so mycoplasma brucellosis, or there's also another form called Burgdorferi, and those are the forms that cause MS, ALS, and these various other forms. But very often people are diagnosed with ALS or MS when, in fact, what they've got is a parasite problem.
Well, you've been doing this for so many years. When somebody walks into your clinic, do you pretty much know what their blood's going to look like just by looking at them?
You know, it's funny, but it really gets to the point where they walk in the door and you go, oh my God, and you know what's going on. And I'm sure you've done that, because I know your hearing is so tuned in that you can hear before they even do a vocal profile.
Yeah, but we have to have that evidence.
Absolutely. And that's why we do it, because people come in and they go, you know, maybe you know what's going on, but, you know, I need to see it. And once they see it and I explain to them what's going on, it really makes their life so much easier, because they go, my God, I've been telling my doctor that for years. Some of it's hormones, some of it's parasites. Could be a bunch of things.
Did you just learn this from trial and error, or just from other people who were doing this very pioneering work?
Actually, at the time, when I got my first scope back in the 80s, there weren't really many people doing it. Hematology was already falling, or at least microscopic hematology was already falling out of favor with the medical establishment, because the medical establishment was trying to quantify it with numbers. And, you know, you'll hear your doctor very often say, well, this is in range, all that's in range, or this is in range. Well, you know, if you drove your car or fixed your car or whatever, the same way that we have now quantified medicine and say, well, everything's fine, but your car's not running. You know, everything's in range, but the car's still not starting, you know.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's what we've done. And today, it's much easier to pick up a microscope. I remember when I was a kid, the only reason you could get me to go to a doctor was because I could look at his microscope, because every doctor had a scope in his office. And today, most doctors, and again, this isn't to denigrate doctors at all, but they've been trained in a particular field in a particular manner, and they haven't looked at a microscope since pre-med.
Do you think the diseases have just outgrown the medical field?
Yeah, because we've created more diseases than really exist. Royal Rife, back in the late 20s, early 30s, and into the 40s, he really believed that there were only about 10 pathogens that cause all disease. And he developed a method to attack what he called those oscillatory rates, which was a frequency thing. Hello.
Yeah.
And he began to believe that there were only 10 of them, and he called them the 10 MORs, which is the morbid oscillatory rate that would kill these pathogens. And he did it with frequency. Hello. And that was, what, 50, 60 years ago?
That's very akin to what we were seeing when I was singing to my own blood.
That's right.
And watching it sort of light up and kind of dance.
Yep. That was weird. I had never seen that before, because you have such a pure, piercing sound. Remember I told you how your voice hurt?
Mm.
Because your tone was so perfect. And you don't generally hear that in this day and age. And we can actually watch the cells change their vibration level.
One of the things that amazed me when we did the studies on Epstein-Barr and chlamydia pneumoniae, when we sang to the cells under the microscope, the person in the other room could feel it.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's that still attachment, even though that blood's out of your body, you still got some attachment to it.
Oh, no question. I mean, we haven't even gotten to, I mean, look at the pioneer work that you've done, and I know that you would admit that you haven't even scratched the surface yet of what's going on.
True.
I mean, everything is frequencies. That's why we have put vocal profiling as part of our, just part and parcel of what we do here, because it just makes so much perfect sense.
Tell me about the clinic you're in, where you are, and how people can get in touch with you.
We are, of course, in North County, San Diego, in a little town called Carlsbad, and they can go to our website, which is healthwalk.com. They can call us at 760-929-1520, and we have people who come from Japan, Australia. I've actually had a couple come from Russia. What we do is really nothing different than Dr. Enderlein did back in the 20s. We've done some different techniques and improved on things. But our particular claim to fame now is that the RTM microscope that we have is so unique, as I mentioned earlier, There's only 16 of them in the world. Scripps Institute has one. Pasteur Institute in Paris has one. World Health Organization has one in Thailand. There's two of them at the at Fort Detrick in Maryland. We won't talk about those. But we've got the only one available to the public so that we can examine blood at that level of magnification and resolution.
I thought something was really weird about that when you said, I'm the only one. But I went looking, and the whole company that makes these has been shut down. The numbers are no good. What's going on there?
Well, actually what happened was Tim Richardson, who developed the microscope, really, is the guy was a genius, and he worked in the, I can't remember the field now, but anyway, Tim, he was kind of an amateur microscopist, and he got some investors to begin working with him on the scope, and they put this thing together, and over a period of time, developed the RTM, and you know, most people don't run out and spend $250,000 on an optical microscope. If they're going to spring for that kind of money, they'll buy a scanning electron microscope or something of that sort. And Tim was having some difficulty selling enough that the investors could recoup their money. And they had sold something like, I think, maybe, well, 16 of them. And we bought one. And at the time that we bought it, the investors had pulled out, and the company went bankrupt. And unfortunately, that's where it is right now, and there are no more of those scopes available. In fact, if anything goes wrong with ours, we're in trouble because we have to take very good care of it because that's it. They're all gone.
So anybody who has this, they have to be with you in person.
Yeah.
It's not like they can send you their blood and you can do something.
No, because if they do that, that would be illegal. You can't send blood through the mail unless it's going to a CLIA-approved clinic, through a doctor, through this, through that. I mean, it's a nightmare. So we did a lot of work at one time before that law went into effect with the Atkins Center, for example, in Manhattan. Robert Atkins used to send 4 or 5 samples a day. That's no longer an issue. We can't do that anymore.
There's something about this that doesn't feel right. Why? If this is so good and all these hospitals have them, it just doesn't feel right that backers just didn't want to do it anymore. It feels like there's some let's not let the public have this deal to this.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I think in talking to Tim and Dan and some of the fellows at RTM, the investors were oil guys, and I think it was a way for them to take a write off. And when it wasn't producing the way that they thought it should produce, you know, monetarily, that they just pulled out, which is just a crying shame. I mean, I really wish that we had the money to let Tim continue the work he was doing. And Tim really has pretty much backed off and gone back into the business world. And I mean, the scope itself is an absolute. I mean, it's just a piece of genius. It really is.
Is it a computerized scope?
Well, it is from the standpoint that if you come in the office, it's a monster. I mean, it takes up about 8 feet of space in the room, but it is computerized. There is specific software written for it, and so we throw it up on a computer monitor, and you see it. Oh, this I can bring a blood cell that, as I said, is about 8 millionths of a meter. In size, I can bring it up to about the size of a quarter on the screen, and we can actually optically slice it and go inside it if we feel like it.
Ooh, I didn't get to see that.
I know. That was a tough night.
It was the open house for the clinic.
Oh, I mean, we were, you know, it's amazing to me. People stayed that whole evening to hear you and talk about vocal profiling. They were just enthralled. I mean, people still come in. And, of course, you're going to be out here, in February?
Yes, doing a class.
Doing a class. It's going to be fun. And, I mean, people are just excited about where healing is going now in the 21st century. I mean, healing is taking an entirely different approach.
Well, self-responsibility
Absolutely.
Is one of them. Because we've just lost trust in the medical field. I don't remember what magazine or journal I was reading, but they had done a poll, and 74% of people have lost trust in their medical provider.
Absolutely. And it's someone asked me a question the other day, and it related to people that are running for office now. What can we do about the healthcare system? And I said, stop equating healthcare with pharmaceuticals, because that's what we've done. Somehow, we have allowed the pharmaceutical companies to equate good health with pharmaceuticals. In the United States, which if you look at the World Health Organization and the way that they rate the 100 top industrialized nations in the world, the United States is 78th in overall health. Now, you would think that we would be the best in the world, but we're not. Because nobody ever wakes up with a deficiency in Lipitor or statin drug. You know? I mean, it's just incredible what these drugs have done. And the drug companies, and some drugs are absolutely necessary. There's no question about it. But the drug companies have turned this into bubblegum. You need to take this, so we're going to create a disease. You need to take this, so we're going to create another disease. And the fact is, we've been lied to so long that most people are so confused when they walk in the door that they just can't believe that they're on 18, and I've had them where they come in here, they're on 18 different drugs.
Well, look at these cholesterol drugs you're just talking about. Most of them have a niacin base, and niacin is a very natural thing that can help you deal with your cholesterol.
Absolutely.
And they just fancied it up with a big bow, and it costs a lot now.
And cholesterol is not a killer. Cholesterol by itself is not a killer, because as you grow older, your body begins to produce more cholesterol to protect your cardiovascular system. The real killer is when the LDLs, or the so-called bad cholesterol, which is really kind of funny when you think about it, but when the LDLs get damaged by free radicals and become homocysteine, that, of course, can build up to atherosclerotic plaque, but it doesn't mean it has to. The problem is we need to talk to people about taking responsibility for their diets. Stop eating foods that are processed and frozen and whatever. I mean, I one of my little games that I play with my clients is I'll tell them, go home, and I want you to take everything out of your cabinets that contains something that you can't pronounce. And when they're done, there's nothing left. Because we have come to the point where, for example, soft drinks, which they use potassium benzoate or sodium benzoate as a preservative, when it gets heated over 100 degrees, for example, in the trucks where they deliver the stuff, it turns into benzene, which is a major cause of chronic lymphoma. So if people want to continue drinking that garbage, it's like drinking battery acid. And we wonder why we're so sick.
And they drink it with aspartame in it, which messes up their glycine and glutathione and their joints.
Oh, aspartame is wood alcohol. For all intents and purposes, it's ethyl alcohol, which I don't think there's even an alcoholic on the street that would drink that crap. This stuff will kill you.
Can you see that in the blood?
We can see the response to chemicals in the blood, yeah. If I see a particular type of white cell, for example, I can tell the individual on some sort of chemical, aspartame, what it may happen to be. And then what I do is I start to quiz them and find out, what are you taking that's causing this reaction? And once we get to that, we'll send them over to our nutritionist, and she'll sit there and, of course, slap herself in the head and go, I can't believe you're doing this to yourself. And what we try to do is point people in the direction of changing lifestyles. To me, it's a real simple matter. I mean, most of us are sleeping on beds that are made with benzene and formaldehyde. We're getting up in the morning and brushing our teeth with a deadly poison. The FDA assumes that the average American uses 9 personal care products a day that are filled with 126 different toxins.
Whoa.
That's scary.
It is. But you brought up a good point that there at the clinic you have a nutritionist that can help people redo their diets.
Right.
And, I've heard people say, well, that's too hard or whatever. I just read another article about they put these people on an ape diet for 90 days,
mm-hmm.
and that was just all the raw fruits and vegetables that they could possibly deal with, and some people needed a little bit of fish and some fish oil. But their heart disease, their diabetes, almost all their chronic diseases went away.
Oh, absolutely.
Using this ape diet.
We had a gal, she was a type 2 diabetic. She went to Europe for 3 weeks just on a vacation. And she came back and she said, "Do you realize that the entire time I was gone, I didn't have to take my glucophage?" And the reason for it, of course, is that the Europeans, by and large, eat foods that are whole.
Mm-hmm.
They eat foods without additives. And as a matter of fact, they won't even allow most American products into most of these European countries because the food is so toxic.
That's one of the things I noticed when I traveled. In Australia, they had an open meat market with hunks, you know, quarters, hanging out in the sun with flies and stuff walking all over them. And I'm going, whoa, they wouldn't allow that in the U.S. But the food there was so much more wholesome and tasted there, and the eggs had taste. And,
oh, yeah.
We're killing ourselves, aren't we?
If you go to Europe and just sit on a street corner in France or Italy and try to find someone who's obese, if you spot that person, he's probably an American tourist.
Oh,
he certainly is not a European.
That's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. It's sad because we now have the most overfed and undernourished nation in the world. It's really getting sad.
And even our raw stuff is full of bacteria. You want to talk about sushi?
Well, sure. I mean, sushi, of course, being, I am convinced that part of the reason that the Japanese survive sushi is because that has been a historical food for them. It's an ethnic food. But for us, we can't do it. And I have people come in here, and I look at their blood on the monitor, and I go, holy criminy. And they look, and I go, what? And I said, what are you doing? I mean, are you licking a floor or what? Oh, well, I eat sushi 3 times a week. And I said, well, don't do that.
I heard you tell your sushi story and make people sick, and other people were coming up and says, I've never eaten sushi after he showed me this under the microscope. What does it look like?
Well, of course, you know, there's about 3,500 parasites that we've managed to, not us, but that parasitologists have isolated. And in sushi, we pick up, Giardia, Toxoplasma gondii, and in some cases, some really pretty pathogenic parasites. And I just tell people, you just can't do that. You can't eat fish that come from the toxic ocean that we now have created and not expect there to be a problem associated with it. I mean, we're dealing with an ocean now that is just sad. I mean, Diana and I went fishing, of course, off the pier, about 2 or 3 hours ago. We won't eat the fish. We had fun catching them, but we don't eat them.
Well, somebody that was standing there said they looked under the microscope and they actually saw worms in it.
Oh, yeah. It's not unusual for us to see flagellates, which are worms with, parasites with little tails, like Giardia or trypanosomes. There's actually, for example, one particular parasite called strongyloid that will cause asthma. It can cause PMS symptoms in women. It will cause upper respiratory problems. It causes migraine headaches. And you can see that little sucker just swimming around just like it, you know, belonged there. And once you address that issue, by and large, most of those symptoms are gone.
When you call Health Walk and the person on the other end is saying, well, I have this symptom, can you then recommend some of these herbs and things that you have had blended for them?
Yeah. A lot of times when they'll say those things to me, I go, well, here's your problem. That's my guess. I'll tell them what to do because it saves them having to travel and come in and whatever. And if I can do it over the phone, I will. Now, the problem, of course, is you're shooting in the dark because they may have an issue. A good one would be I had a gentleman call me from Carson City, Nevada, not too long ago. He'd been 14 years in a wheelchair. And as he started talking, he said his doctor had diagnosed him with MS. And as he talked, I said, I don't think you've got MS from what you're telling me. I said, my guess is that what you've got is Lyme disease. So we put him on a protocol of two things, and he called me up. He said 3 weeks later, not well, but he got up after 14 years in the wheelchair. He got up and walked for the first time in those 14 years. And because we were right. And then he went back to his old medical records, and his doctor had tested him positive for Lyme, but told him for some reason that he had MS. And he's, as far as I'm concerned, spent 14 years in a wheelchair for nothing.
Well, let's give out the phone number again in case people want to call and ask questions.
Yeah, if I'm free, the girls will generally turn you loose on me. And if I'm not, they make me call you back right away. I've several times gone, well, I'm going to the little boys' room. And they go, no, you have a phone call to make. And I go, no, I just, no, you know, it's a little fight that we have. But it's 760-929-1520. And Meg or Diana will generally answer the phone. And if I'm free, I'll spend as much time as necessary on the phone with you.
Diana's your wife.
Diana's my wife.
She works there?
She works here, and she's overpaid and underworked. And
she's going to slap you.
Yeah, well, she's not here at the office right now, so I can get away with that. But I'm sure she's listening, so I'll get it when I get home.
Okay. Well, the number, if they want to ask you a question tonight, is 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, 888-810-8322. So you have a website, too, healthwalk.com.
.com.
And you give information there. Does it say if you got this symptom, kind of look here?
It's a very extensive website. We just had, it was totally reworked by our business partner, Mark Hines, who's another guy of incredible insight. And the website now has a blog on it, so people can go on and they can say, well, I've got this symptom, and what do you think? And then I try to get on and help them out with that. We have to be extremely careful because we can't claim to cure or mitigate or prevent anything anymore. All we can do is give advice and say, well, this might work. So we have to be very careful because the FDA, the way the law is written, for example, anything that mitigates, prevents, or cures a disease is a drug. Therefore, if you tell someone, take vitamin C for scurvy, you just made an orange a drug.
And that's why they're trying so hard to get Codex in.
Exactly.
So food can become a drug and they can regulate it. And then we've got the statin crap stuff going on again, where they're taking something, adulterating it, and telling us it's better than the original.
Exactly. And of course, with genetic modification of food, that's exactly what companies like Monsanto have done, is they have made food now a patentable product. So if you want to buy, say, cotton from Monsanto, not only will you pay them a fee for the cotton seed, but you have to buy it year in and year out because it's not, you know, they can't take corn anymore and save some of the corn kernels and plant them the following year because they won't grow. They're hybrids. And I don't want to hear that we've been genetically modifying food for hundreds of years, because that's just flat not true.
I can see where this is going, total control.
Absolutely.
Of the populace. Why would people want total control of the populace when they've already proven to us that they can't even take and run with the job they have?
Absolutely. We have diseases now that have literally been created by some of these drug companies. I mean, you're dealing with companies, you know, I will name a name. Take IG Farben, for example, which is the parent company of the Bayer Corporation. In Germany, of course, it's Bayer. The Bayer Corporation were the same people that created mustard gas in the First World War. They created Cyclone B for the gas chambers in the Second World War. The head of IG Farben at the Nuremberg trials got 7 years, while the generals all got hung. And when he got back out, of course, he started up IG Farben. And we now have, there are many Jewish friends of mine who to this day will not buy Bayer aspirin or anything by IG Farben because these people were criminals in the Second and First World War. And these are the same people that we're looking to now for things like Tamiflu? I don't think so.
Oh, have you ever heard of Larry Trivier in the new book he's writing? I want to give him all the best light because he's going to need it.
Yeah.
He is doing an expose on how they have modified the wheat by taking out certain nutrients.
Oh, sure.
That they know that if taken out are going to cause allergy reactions.
Absolutely. There's a gentleman in Huntington Beach. His name is Garth Nicholson. And Dr. Nicholson and his wife were the first ones to discover the link between mycoplasma and Gulf War Syndrome. and they discovered that in 1991-92. He just published a book not 2-3 months ago called Project Daylily, in which he, in a kind of novella sort of way, exposed Fort Detrick and the mycoplasma brucellosis crystal form that the government now has a 250-page patent on, and he exposed it. And I said, you've got to be out of your mind, because the government is, people have no clue what these people are doing. It's absolutely scary.
Well, I am so happy that Dr. Rima LeBeau and her husband Bert Stubblebine, who was a retired Army general, have gone to Europe, and they are getting codex reversed
right
in some of these other countries, so that we can come in with institutions or organizations, I don't know what you call your place, like Health Walk, and maybe have one in every town and in every place, and have them all connected so we can all share information about nutrition and vocal profiling and frequencies and hematology and drumming. And I love the Dumas that was there, John Dumas playing the didgeridoo, and how we can do this for ourselves from the inside out. We need more and more and more health walks.
Well, it's happening. And one of the things that our business partner Mark, of course, is doing is we're working on methods whereby we can turn these things into copyable models. And I think we've talked about that. And we're moving in that direction more and more. And we believe that by the end of the decade, that there will literally be hundreds of these around the country in a perfectly legitimate and legal setting, which cannot be touched by the FDA.
We just have to stick together as a people and say enough's enough.
That's right.
And not allow this other to go on. In the one little aside here, in the numbering system that we do for vocal profiling, the idea behind that is there's a lot of math going on in the body.
Right.
And you talked a bit ago about fluoride being in the water and that kind of thing. In this matrix, when we look at everything that's supposed to be in the body, we can generally find it in one set of numbers that makes very harmonic sense, almost like a song. And everything that we looked at for calcium fluoride, which is what they're putting in our water, everything led us, though this is not supposed to be in there.
That's right.
It isn't in the number matrix. And when you look at it, it's a byproduct of some manufacturing that they pawned off on us, saying this is the kind of fluoride that needs to go in your teeth. That's just one little piece of us being poisoned. How can, if we only have one microscope, how can we possibly deal with this rape?
Well, I think what happens is, I mean, when I get done with people at the end of an hour or two-hour consult, they look at me, and they've got this glazed look over their eye, and they're going, well, what am I going to do? And I said, well, in all essence, I mean, stop eating, stop breathing, stop drinking. But you obviously can't do that. So you have to be more aware of what you're purchasing, because it is the purchasing power or the lack thereof that attacks these people at the very core of their being, which is money. So, for example, when you look at a tube of toothpaste and you flip it over and it says if you accidentally swallow more than is used for brushing, call Poison Control Center, then you don't want to buy that.
Ooh, and to educate people to that.
Exactly, and that's what we do. We try to teach them, look, if you don't buy it, they can't make any money on it. For example, you know, a Fuji apple, I have people come in very often, they'll say, well, I buy nothing but organic Fuji apples. And I go, well, that's really great, but Fuji apples are genetically modified. So I don't care how organic it is, it's a piece of garbage. Don't eat it.
Ooh, I didn't know that. Where can you get a list of that kind of thing?
Yeah, what they did is they took the amylase out of Fuji apples to extend the shelf life. Now, I tell people, if it won't rot on your counter, it won't rot in your stomach.
Oh, good grief.
So, I'll say eat Pink Ladies or eat Gala apples or whatever. It's rapidly gotten to a point now where I don't buy any meat that doesn't come from New Zealand or a source that I am extremely well aware of what the source is. California, for example, 60% of the water supply here is full of Ritalin and Prozac. So you have to be careful where you're buying your water. You have to be careful where your cattle are being fed. I mean, this gets to be a nightmare, and most people just go, I give up. Well, you can't do that.
Wait. They deliberately put Prozac in your water?
No, what's actually happened is, what do people do with their drugs when they're done with them? They throw them down the toilet.
Oh, okay.
So that's not a deliberate thing. But we do have 100% of the water supply in California is full of MTBE, which is an additive that the state of California recognizes as a carcinogen, which is funny because they put it in the gas to make it burn better to begin with. I mean, it's really like, oh, my God.
Is there a list of these modified foods and vegetables on HealthWalk's site?
You know what? That's a good idea. I don't think we've done that. I don't know that we have enough room.
We only have a few minutes left. I've got a dozen questions here. I have to choose. When someone comes to you, is it a one-time deal?
No.
Okay, so this is a long-term thing.
Yeah, generally about 3 months. We can generally reverse most situations within about a three-month period. And I tell people, I want to see you in 30 days. Do a follow-up because your blood is changing. Your blood cells change about every 120 days. They go through a full cycle. And so generally speaking, it's a three-month program. But we can get them. Generally, I'll talk to them on the phone. If they're coming from out of town, I have a lot of people that come from the East Coast. You know, I'll tell them, look, you can't possibly get back here every 30 days unless you're completely loaded. So let's do as much as we can on the phone.
And is there an email at HealthWalk where they can write to you?
Yeah, they can write to hugh@healthwalk.com.
H-U-G-H.
Mm-hmm.
At HealthWalk,
HealthWalk.com.
We're going to have you back. We want more stories. For those of you who are going to write to us, it's radio@vocalprofiling.com. Dr. Smith, it has been great. We will certainly have you back. We have a regular spot for you.
Oh, sure. You're a sweetie. I really enjoy it. Say hello to everybody. And thank you very much for having us on.
And let us know how this does for you. And those of you who want to take the courses that we're going to do at Health Walk in February, what's that number once again?
760-929-1520.
Thank you. Until next week.
Thanks, Sherry.